Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Dr. Sophie to our weekly podcast. I appreciate you coming back each time. This week, we are talking about a very interesting topic. It's called purpose-driven health. What does that really mean? It's a lot. We're going to try to understand in a better way with a really interesting guest expert. How can you map out what your purpose is in your own life? Are there benefits to having a purpose? Are there benefits to having a strong sense of your own purpose? How does purpose affect our own personality? And then, of course, the 4 points we're going to end with so that you understand really the key points of what is purpose and how to find one. So stay tuned. Come on back. You can always find me at 1-855-SOPHIE-NOW or 1-855-767-4966. Each caller will receive a free copy of my book, and it will be signed. It is called Side by Side, the Revolutionary Mother-Daughter Program for Conflict-Free Communication. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody, to our podcast. Today we are talking about purpose and purpose-driven health. We're going to have a really interesting guest expert today with us, Dr. Mike Friedman. He's been on our podcast before, where you can find him under the bullying topic. So go to iTunes and take a listen. He's a very educated, sophisticated man who knows a lot about purpose. He's a clinical psychologist. He's been on every show you can imagine, and he's had articles all over the place. He has a private practice in Manhattan. And he is now on the phone with us. Dr. Mike Friedman, you with us?
I am with you. Thanks for having me back on the show.
How are you? Thank you. So you're a Yale person, and you're educated and all that stuff, and a Brown University person. Tell us what it is that you do.
Well, I'm a clinical psychologist, and I work mostly with adults, usually in a one-on-one capacity, sometimes with couples. I also do a certain amount of consulting. But the sense of what I do is trying to help people understand, you know, what's their purpose in life, what are they trying to get out of their life, and help them set goals towards that agenda. Most people don't ask themselves, you know, why am I here, what am I doing, and how am I going about that. They, you know, kind of go moment to moment, day to day, which sometimes can be good, but a lot of times people wind up feeling lost, and they look back on their life, and they think, you know, I'm not really sure why I was doing any of this.
Yeah, I have those days. Do you?
Yeah, we call it every day at this house.
Yeah, really.
I still try to teach people otherwise.
Yeah, that's right. Do as you say, not as you do. So tell me, like, what does it matter? Like, some people, our listeners, are going to be like, well, why do I need a purpose? I got a job and I make money and that's it.
Well, you know, you don't necessarily need one. And I think that's a really good question. I think that generally speaking, there tends to be a couple of different ways that people wind up having a good life. What I would call like a big life. One is that you say, look, I just want to do whatever it is that I'm doing. I want to kind of be in the moment, and I'll see where that takes me. And that can feel really good to people. Some people like to say, well, I want different experiences in life, and so I want to actively look to try to do different things, maybe not with my job, but afterwards. You know, I want to go to museums, and I want to travel, all these kinds of things. But then there's other people who feel as though they want to build towards something, you know, and they want to do something that makes them feel fulfilled in a particular kind of way. And that can be where they want to contribute something to the world. That could be where they want to be specifically engaged in their kids growing up. They want to help others. And so for those people, knowing what that is and being able to consistently work towards that is something that really lights people up. It really gives them a sense of direction. It gives them a sense of understanding why they're here, and that can be good emotionally, but also practically, it makes it much more likely that you're going to get there. You know, if I said to you as an example, you know, well, go where?
Right.
Like,
right.
Why? What am I doing? But if I said, hey, do you mind going down to the store and picking me up a loaf of bread? And it's like, oh, okay, great. You know, I'd be happy to do that. And that, for a lot of people, you know, when you don't have that purpose, you just feel lost. And the research has shown more and more that people who have a strong sense of purpose, they live longer. When they're older, they tend to have lower cognitive decline or lower risk for dementia. People are also less likely to be hospitalized, which is essentially a sign that people are functioning on a good level. So there's mounting evidence that having a sense of purpose is something that really is healthy for you.
So, I mean, is it safe to say, though, that this sense of purpose could be called structure and it's guiding Or does it really have to have like a goal that they like and they can see and connect to, and that drives it?
Well, I think that there's different ways of looking at it. Again, you know, when you think of somebody who says, look, I don't want to have a guiding principle, I just kind of want to go where life takes me, having a structure can still be good. You know, it feels good sometimes to be on a regular sleep schedule, to eat it around the same time, to exercise, you know, to this is when I work, this is when I see people. So I think that a structure can feel good in almost any circumstance. I think the difference with a structure in the context of a broader sense of purpose is that it feels, if I were to make the analogy, what less like you're renting and more like you're buying.
Yeah.
So I'm putting the same amount of money into this, but at some point later on I'm going to own something, whereas when you rent, it's just kind of day-to-day. As soon as you're done renting, you leave. Now, I don't know what the current housing market, if that's really analogy, but there was a time where I think people understood that better, that they like the idea of, you know, sort of a structured, you know, if you want to think of it, you know, take the analogy a little further, like a mortgage payment every month or each day I'm working towards my purpose, and that can really feel good. And at the end of that, you know, take kids as an example. You know, some people, if, you know, you spend 18 years raising a kid, 20, 21 years raising a kid, and then at the end of that, you now have another person that you can be proud of and, you know, maybe can help you out when you get older, that you can spend time with. That really feels like an accomplishment that's just beyond, well, here's what I did day to day and my life was structured.
So, okay, that makes a lot of sense. What about the thought of people saying, well, is anxiety or the need to control anxiety a part of which camp you fall into, whether freeform or less structured people that can go with the flow and see where life takes me don't need control because they don't have that much anxiety, and those other people have more and need control, or does that not enter into this?
I think it's, you know, to me, it's less of a one or the other. You know, if you think about it, even people who, let's say a Buddhist monk or somebody who dedicates their life to a more Zen-like approach, you know, they still have to stop and say, I want to do this. You know, like, I want to go on this journey, and that I see at the end that this is something that really works for me. And so I think that you can, you know, be, you know, in fact, I think the best place to be for a lot of people is to be able to know why you're doing the various things that you're doing in your life and where it's going, but then in the moment, just be able to be in the moment. Because, you know, as an example, you know, if you're somebody who thinks to yourself, well, I've really thought through, you know, how important my job is versus my family life, and I know how each of these is going to get me to the goals that fulfill my sense of purpose. Well, then when you're with your family, you don't have to necessarily think about work, or when you're at work, you don't have to think about your family. You can just really focus on being in the moment because you've already figured that out ahead of time. I think that if you're somebody who can just go with the flow regardless, that's great. And if you've decided in some way that it's better for you to just go with the flow and you feel like you want to approach it that way, then that's great. Having a sense of purpose doesn't mean that you really need control per se. It's just sort of saying you just like knowing where you're going.
And it's a general understanding that you've accepted and you're happy with the overall plan kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that's why when I work with people and I talk about having a sense of purpose, I don't say, look, you have to have a sense of purpose and it's got to be, again, very achievement-oriented and you've got to compare yourself to standards. You know, it's whatever model of life you find is, you know, makes the most sense to you. Let's say that is your purpose, quote-unquote, and if your purpose is enjoying life, that's fantastic. If your purpose is moment-to-moment, that's great. If your purpose is, you know, letting things take you where they may, then that's great, too. But the main thing is to know what your general life philosophy is, if you want
right.
to call it that, and
yeah.
matching up your behavior accordingly. A lot of people who I work with, they effectively sort of live their life one way and then evaluate themselves another way. And that's where you really get into, it's not dangerous per se, but, you know, it's just wasting a lot of time from an emotional standpoint.
So tell me, I mean, are there, when you're looking at your general life purpose and philosophy, are there certain goals that all of us should have when we're mapping it out, or are there specific ones, or, like, how do you start that?
Well, I definitely stay away from should as a concept, because then you're, you know, one of the things I think that causes people to avoid trying to outline a purpose is that they've heard should their whole life. You know, you should study more at school, you should really eat healthy, you should, you know, follow this religious plan. And so a lot of people are just naturally turned off by the idea of a sense of purpose because they've heard should for so long. But what I tend to say to people is, you know, look, generally speaking, there's four areas that people will often explore as something that has to do with their purpose. One is generally love, which is could be romantic love. It could be, you know, just connection with people in general. And so some people really derive, you know, just a lot of sense of purpose and gratification from just connecting with people. So that's good. Another one is work of some kind, and whether that's, you know, the work that you do to earn money, whether that's the work that you do in your spare time, you know, build model airplanes, or, you know, you do Habitat for Humanity, whatever it may be, there's something that makes you feel like you're achieving something. And then there's health, and some people like to have just, you know, the end goal of being healthy is something that people feel is an end in and of itself. And then finally, you know, sometimes there's something that people have that's just a passion. You know, something that, you know, it doesn't necessarily feel like it's achieving anything. And sometimes it is, but, you know, it's just something, you know, like some people, as an example, just love to surf. You know, their life is meaningful and is purposeful if it means that they can get up every morning and surf, you know, from 5 to 8. And, you know, that any one of those four things, I think, is a great place to start and just ask yourself. It's like, look, you know, at the end of this year, when it's my birthday, how am I going to think about my life? You know, when I retire, how am I going to think about life? When I'm on my deathbed, how am I going to think about it? And, you know, what's going to matter? And what do you want to have thought that you did? And, you know, that's usually a pretty good place to start, just to get a sense of, you know, what makes you tick.
And so you don't really have to be making money from your sense of purpose. It could just be simply a sense of purpose.
Yeah, and in fact, I would not encourage people to necessarily have it separate from money. But a lot of times, I see people then it gets very confused with money. So it's a perfect example. I think people in the artistic community, whether it's music, painting, writing, a lot of times what winds up happening is that they, you know, want to make money off of their passion, which is great. And if you can do it, I think that's fantastic. One of the things I'd often encourage people to do is, you know, if you have that and it's so pure and it just feels so good to you, you know, keep it pure and don't necessarily do it to make money. If, you know, chances are, though, if you, you know, allow yourself to get really into it without the pressures of having to make money, chances are the product, if you want to view it that way, will probably be worth more to other people. You know, if you're spending hours and hours, you know, writing songs and performing them because you love to do it, you'll probably be better at it. But I actually encourage people to first and foremost not think of it as something that's money-related, because it just gets complicated. But if you can then, after the fact, make money off of it, or you can keep that process pure and still make money off of it, that's great.
That's icy.
But I definitely don't think it has to be money-based.
Good. I want to read you an email we just got. John from Chicago is asking you, I'm a recent college graduate. Right now, I'm working in the healthcare industry, and I enjoy my coworkers, but I don't feel fully satisfied at work. I think I want to do something else, but I have no idea how to go about figuring out what that may be. Do you have any suggestions?
So one of the things that I would say to people is, the first thing is, why do you work? You know, do you work to be fulfilled, or do you work to make money to be fulfilled in other areas? And, you know, if you're somebody that works to make money to be fulfilled in other areas, then that's a good start to think, like, well, how am I spending my time otherwise? But if not, you know, then, you know, we have to figure out, like, what kind of job would be gratifying for you. One of the things that I often ask people to do is just kind of close your eyes and think back to when you were a kid. You know, what were the things that you used to dream about being? You know, if I said to you, like, I'm gonna guarantee you that you can have success in a particular way, whatever that success looks like. You know, some people say, well, I always wanted to be, you know, a rock singer, or I always wanted to be a dancer, or I always wanted to, you know, some people say even, I always wanted to make tons of money and have people be impressed with how much money I'm making. You know, whatever it is, I would start there. And then what I would also do is, you know, if you go to a bookstore, what used to be, I don't even know if there are bookstores anymore, but
online,
used to be a bookstore. That might be your own lifetime purpose, finding a
bookstore.
You're
aging yourself.
You know, go in and, like, what section do you go to? You know, where does your mind naturally, what does it become curious? And I think that you just keep asking those questions, like, what would you enjoy spending your time doing if you had the option? You know, who are the type of people that you'd want to be associated with? And I think if you keep, it's like a stone, if you keep running, you know, the water over it, it'll eventually get smoother and you'll have more and more of a sense of where you belong in the world. But, you know, it's a hard thing. You know,
it's very,
very hard for people to find something that they find fulfilling and they can make money off of.
Do you think it's harder as people age?
In terms of the money?
No, well, or landing where they feel a fit.
Well, it depends. You know, in some ways, I think that as we get older, a lot of times, I think one of the things that undermines people finding a sense of purpose is that, or at least thinking that they don't have a sense of purpose, is that they've actually had extremely successful lives. You know, people, as an example, who do really well in school, and then naturally, you know, they get a good job, and then they meet their significant other, and then they have a family, and they have lots of friends. You know, what happens is that a lot of times people are just so kind of embedded in this very nice structure that they don't ever ask themselves, is this what I wanted? And so what can actually happen as somebody gets older, you know, and you think about, you know, someone retiring, kids move away, and, you know, you maybe made enough money that you can, you know, you can live on,
yeah,
that you can have like a second, I don't even say a second career, it'd be kind of like a next generation or a, you know, another phase of your life where you're
right,
focused more on what you're passionate about. It's tougher if you haven't put yourself in that situation, then you're trying to do it. But I encourage everybody, like, you know, even if you have an hour a week, you know, you can, I mean, think about how many people are able to go through their days at jobs they don't want, or even in, like, you know, personal situations they don't like, because they're looking forward to their sports team doing well.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
You don't need that much time a week to put something in place that could really light you up, you know, can look forward to, and, you know, people get excited about. So I'd really encourage that anybody at any point, it's kind of like people say about saving money, like anybody at any point can do it. You know, it's kind of like that one step.
So tell me, is there really a difference then between someone's purpose and their hobby, maybe?
Well, it depends. You know, I think that generally speaking, when people think of a hobby, at least the term, is they think of it as something that's very, you know, it's kind of, it's by definition, the term hobby kind of minimizes it, and they think it's something on the side. It's something that, you know, it's nice, but it doesn't matter. It's not radically different from watching like a fun television show. But I think that for some people, what I would encourage them to say is that, you know, it may be a hobby for you in the sense that its function is to help you relax and to get your mind off of things, and that's great. And that can fit into a really great and a purposeful life. But if it's something that you're passionate about, you know, if it's something that moves you, it's something that, you know, kind of lights you up, then I would say that that's something very different than a hobby. And I would really look for that distinction when, you know, when any of us are going through picking our activities. You know, anything can be fun, you know, to a certain extent, but what really gets inside of you? And maybe it's nothing, you know, maybe
yeah,
you just kind of enjoy things. There's nothing wrong with that.
Good. All right, I'm going to play a voicemail. Hang on.
When I hear the word purpose, it makes me think of something huge or world-changing. I'm wondering, can my purpose be something that's on a smaller scale, like being a good father? Is that a legitimate purpose to have in life? Thank you very much.
What do you think, Dr. Friedman?
And
you can't say getting out of jail.
If you call being a good father a small purpose, I think that's the biggest purpose of all. So we may have a disagreement
really
about that, the fundamental nature of the question.
Right.
First of all, like, one thing I would say is that, you know, I never judge someone's purpose, and I would encourage, you know, people not to, oh, that's not important enough, or that's not big enough. You know, that's incredibly damaging when people feel like their purpose or what matters to them is being judged. And, you know, you see it as a kid, you know, the way that it manifests is, you get, you know, let's say you get a kid who's like into skateboarding, and all of a sudden everyone's like, well, I mean, what are you going to do with that? Right, you know,
right,
that's not going to get you a scholarship to right, college or something. And right there, boom, you just like killed the whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, where you could be having this person who, you know, just absolutely had this thing that they could take with them for the rest of their lives. So I would say, number one, there's no such thing as a purpose that's too big. There's no such thing as a purpose too small. and being a great father, if you had to judge, I don't think you get much better than that. I mean, I think if all of us, like, our purpose was to, as best as possible, take care of those around us, you know, what would the world look like?
Exactly. Okay. So, I mean, what do you think then, those that, like, for our listeners, they're wondering, like, benefits to having a strong sense of purpose? Like, what does it bring you, and what's the point of doing the work of identifying and implementing and living it? I mean, what is the end goal and the benefits? Does it,
well, I think the
research wise.
Yeah, I mean, I think the end goal from my perspective, and again, I would really encourage people, if looking for a sense of purpose becomes a burden beyond the fact that, you know, anything that's worth doing is probably difficult. You know, if you're really kind of sitting there and being like, I don't know, and now I'm stressed out, like,
right,
don't do it. There's, you know, not having a sense of purpose is not going to hurt you, per se. So that's one thing I would definitely say to people, is that if it's already feeling like a pressure to have it, it's counterproductive to the intent of that kind of exercise. But I think that if you have it, what you would, in theory, get is, you know, something right from the inside out. And so the way that I would say it to people is that if it's something that you're really passionate about, something that's purpose, in theory, it's one, something that you could do alone for hours and hours and hours. So let's take music. Let's say, like, you know, being, you're a guitar player, and just, like, music just lights you up.
Right.
So right there, you know, endless hours that for a lot of people are wasted, now is practice. So I'll give you a perfect example. Like, there's a program called Music Corps that teaches disabled veterans to play instruments, gets them instruments and gives them play. So you take somebody who is, you know, is an amputee, who's sitting there and doesn't know what they're going to do with their life, and you put a guitar in their hand, though, and if music matters to them, well, now you don't have 16 hours a day to, you know, to ponder, you know, a lot of negative existential thoughts. Now you got 16 hours a day to practice. And that is different. That's a very different life, you know, having something that matters to you that you're doing. So that's one concrete thing. The second thing is that you are more likely to, you know, achieve, generally speaking, depth of experience can be something that's very gratifying. You know, it's one thing, again, to say, oh, I listen to music. What kind of music do you listen to? Oh, I listen to whatever's on the radio. Nothing wrong with that. But if you are someone who is, you know, is learning music and is able to hear, you know, it's almost like you're learning another language, and now you're able to speak and hear, like, you know, where are songs and artists that really matter to you. So now all of a sudden that becomes so much more entertaining. So those are two very positive things right away. But then the other thing is that oftentimes when people find their purpose, they connect with other people who are drawn to that energy.
Right.
You know, I know, as an example, I always tell this to my patients, when I was in the late 90s, when I was living in Boston, I had two friends. One was running the Boston Marathon for Team in Training, and one was doing a startup company. And, man, were they energized. I mean,
were
it bled off of them. And it was in that moment, you know, while I was, like, you know, running around miserable, not knowing what I was doing with my life, that they met their wives. Because, you know, how could you not be drawn to them? I mean, they were
right,
so focused, and they were so energized, and they were doing such great things. And so that's another benefit that often happens, is that all that time that you would be otherwise, you know, kind of sitting around, it's like mobilizing your resources if you're in an economy. You know, now you get, you know, to take the guitar thing, well, it's like now you can meet other people who play music, and you can talk to them, and, you know, you can maybe even join a band, and when you go to concerts, it's a whole other experience.
Yeah.
And a lot of times what happens is you have a community around your purpose. And that's why people who are more religious sometimes, if spirituality is a purpose or religion is a purpose, it can be so great, because all of a sudden you have this community of people who, you know, kind of
share the
same
care
thing about what you care about.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, like, how do we tell our listeners to gauge whether they're benefiting from having a sense of purpose or from their purpose?
Well, I think that the way that I would do it is, you know, however you evaluate your life to begin with, you know, let's say it's happiness or satisfaction. You know, it's everything is subjective in that way, you know, you could argue. So, you know, but whatever it is, you know, you can kind of take a week and say, like, well, when I wake up in the morning, I think about how my day was. Like, what do I think about? You know, is it my mood? Is it, you know, the number of people I'm talking to, the amount that I get done? Whatever the metric is for you, get a baseline on that and then say, okay, this is me without a sense of purpose. This is how I feel. This is how much I'm getting accomplished. These are how many people I'm spending time with. This is how much money I'm saving, you know, whatever it is. And then say, okay, now I'm going to try that with a sense of purpose. And look at the numbers. You know, just do it. It's your own rating system. So obviously, again, it's subjective. But you can tell the difference between whether or not you're, you know, not particularly happy versus happy, whether you're getting a lot done and productive during a day versus not, whether you're, you know, you're spending in the course of a week, you have three different times you're hanging out with friends versus none. You know, so you can see these things. And chances are, you know, the way I say it with a lot of things with mental health, it's kind of like being on a plane. Like, you know, there's not something that's going to be happening on the plane that is going to be important that you're not going to be able to figure out. You know, if there's like something wrong with the edges, like you're gonna know that there's a problem.
Exactly.
I think it's the same thing in a positive way. You're gonna know if this is working. You know, and if it's not, it's not. You know, there's plenty of other ways to feel good in your life. But if you know you're looking for something, this might be one.
Cool. Okay, I'm gonna read you another email. Sharon from Houston is asking, can a person's purpose change in life? If you think your purpose is one thing and then you realize it may be something else. As long as you're pursuing a purpose, is that really all that it matters?
Oh yeah, I'd say 100% that. And again, you know, forget, you know, reminding that you don't need to be pursuing a purpose. But I would say definitely. I mean, I think that, you know, at any given moment, things may change in your life where you discover something. You know, so for example, you know, I don't know before I had kids that I would have anticipated. I mean, I know, like, intellectually, like, oh, I care about my kids, whatever. But I don't know that I would have known that now I'm organizing everything that I do to make sure that they're okay. You know, so but that can only happen after your kid's born. So
Right. There's
definitely, or you know, a lot of people will talk about, as an example, like, they'll talk about a certain kind of music. You know, so people who are into hardcore punk, they'll describe how, you know, I saw Black Flag, and it was just, my life changed,
right.
You know, or I saw Bad Brains, and my life changed. You can't know when that thing is going to happen that's all of a sudden going to completely change your life, and I think it's great to be open to it. So, yeah, I definitely think it can change on a dime, but I would also say that if it does, what you did up until then isn't erased. You know, it's kind of like relationships. Like, a lot of people think, well, you know, if a relationship doesn't start and then last for your entire life, that it's a failure. You know, but if you use that metric, every relationship that you're in, except for maybe one, is going to fail. And so, you know, it's the same thing with a life purpose. It doesn't mean that, you know, because it's not your life purpose until you die, that it was meaningless. The very act of, you know, understanding yourself and moving towards a goal, that those meta skills of being able to do that translate throughout. So I would definitely say that it's probably in a lot of ways healthy to have multiple purposes throughout the course of your life, you know, and so definitely that's not a bad thing.
Okay, I want to play you another voicemail.
Yes, I've recently retired, and I'm finding it difficult to find out what my next purpose is in life. I was a teacher for 35 years, and now that I have fulfilled that purpose in life, if you will, I'm trying to find what my next step is. How is it different when you're younger finding a purpose than it is when you're older? Thank you.
I think you should work at a Halloween haunted house. What do you think?
These are good questions. You got some great listeners. This is like, you know, let's keep going with this.
Wow.
You know, I think that that's a great question. I think that one of the things that it taps into is a lot of people... and they don't realize it. You know, you think about someone who struggles with retirement. Well, why would you struggle with retirement? You struggle with retirement because your life was so successful as is, you know, and you've taught for 35 years and you've achieved that goal. And not that many of us think, well, then what, you know? And I think that what I would say to someone is it's definitely not necessarily easier when you're younger versus you're older. There may be certain things physically that you might be more able to do. But I'd say the majority of things, it doesn't matter what age you're at. And what I would say to somebody like that is, you know, when my advisor from grad school, I started, he had actually been there. He came to grad my university the year before. And I asked him, what did you do? And he said, I just spent the year listening to talks. I just wanted to go to talks and see what this campus had to offer. And that was very important for him because he developed a center that was integrated in a lot of ways in terms of different disciplines, different approaches. What I would encourage that person to do, if they were working with me directly, is I would say, take a year and just go see things. You know, go listen to talks, go to museums, go travel, you know, go see what the world has to offer you, and don't even put any pressure to find your next sense of purpose, because, you know, you've been doing something for 35 years and it's been working. We don't really have a doubt that you're going to be able to engage once you find something, but maybe now's the time to clear your mind a little bit and, you know, let, you know, kind of see where you belong in the world. And maybe it's teaching again. Maybe it's teaching in another capacity, you know, but that's what I would say to someone is, you know, give yourself some time to really, you know, just take in what the world has to offer and see where it winds up.
Okay. So tell me, do you, in your work and researching, have you seen that there's a specific type of person or personality type that would be more prone to finding their mission? I mean, being on a mission to find their purpose, or is it just kind of happens to almost all of us?
Yeah, I think it can be anyone because what it is to have that purpose can be so different. So and the intensity of it can be so different. You know, you take that the earlier call, and you take somebody who says, "I just want to be a good father." When I say just, I don't mean just because it's not an important thing. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. I want to be a good father, and or you have somebody who says, "I want to be a good teacher," or "I want to explore the world," or, you know, "I want to solve world hunger." You know, so there's so many different ways that you can have a clear sense of purpose that I personally don't think, and maybe the research will show otherwise, I don't think there's a specific personality type. I think that's what makes it such a powerful mechanism, potentially, is I think anybody can do it, including, again, saying, I don't want a purpose. You know, in fact, that's my purpose, is specifically not to have
one.
You know, some kind of overarching, you know, directive in my life. It's the last thing I want. So that's why I think you can, as long as, you know, you can pretty much check in with yourself, whoever you are, wherever you are, how old you are, and connect into it. And I think that's what's great about it, is that, but then you can also then live your life accordingly, which is even better. You know, you can learn how to make decisions. You know, I can't tell you how many people, you know, get really concerned about things at work or in relationships or whatever. And when you ask them, you know, well, what's making you anxious about it, part of what you figure out is, you know, they're not really evaluating this in terms of a bigger plan. You know, if you're somebody that likes to go from adventure to adventure, you know, is it that big of a deal if there's a money thing, but if you potentially lose your job, if you feel like you could get a job elsewhere, is it that big of a deal? Probably not. It would only be a big deal if all you ever wanted to do was, you know, be a partner at a corporate law firm. Well, then we got a bigger problem.
Right.
But a lot of times people, you know, have this vision and they evaluate themselves differently. Yeah, just saves you so much trouble, just kind of knowing where you're going.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great information. I mean, you know, you can't go wrong. Whether you have one or you don't, at least you do the work to know if you want one.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of it, is that what damage does it do? Other than, and that's why I, again, really encourage people, don't put pressure on yourself. But, you know, when you're riding the train or you're walking, just kind of see, you know, what's making me tick. And, you know,
check in with yourself.
Check in with yourself. No, you can't.
Dr. Michael Friedman, where do we find you?
You can go to my website at michaelfriedmanphd.com. And if you want to talk more, you can email me at drmikepsychology@gmail.com. Check out my Psychology Today articles that under Brick by Brick, where one of the ways that I've kind of learned about purpose is interviewing people of different prominence levels who, you know, have achieved certain things in their life and sort of listening to them talk about what is it that helped them do it. And a lot of them have, like, you know, kind of said right from the beginning, I had a very clear sense of purpose. Some of them said, I had no idea where I was going, but I found this. And so that's, you know, been very helpful for me, kind of talking with these relatively successful people at what they do, you know, kind of figuring out where they go.
Yeah, because there's not always a set path.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for all your information and your expertise, Dr. Mike Friedman. Thank you. So that was our guest expert today, Dr. Mike Friedman, talking about purpose, the sense of purpose, purpose-driven health, why it really affects your health in a good way to have a sense of purpose. But just going through the practice of having a purpose or seeing if you want one is good enough sometimes. So You don't have to have one, but you should go through the practice. And lots of really great information from Dr. Mike Friedman. The four pieces that I think are really important for you to zone in on and really study and understand better are really, number one, looking at what is a purpose. Why is it important to us? Why do we have to really look at that as an entity in our life? What makes a good life? Does a good life only come if you have a purpose? No, not necessarily, but a good life comes when you've evaluated whether you want a purpose or whether you have a purpose or need a purpose, but actually going through the process of evaluating that. There are many people we've learned today that sometimes can live their life free form, basically not needing a purpose, and are okay with it. And then there are those that need that purpose to help them focus and drive through towards that goal. So wherever category you fall into, it doesn't matter. You just need to really take a look and think about your sense of purpose, because it gives a sense of direction. And it also evolves over time. So you may think you have a purpose now at age 20, and it could very well be different at the age of 40. So don't be surprised as it evolves either. But those are the reasons purpose needs to be looked at in our lives. The second thing I think that is really very important for us to understand is decide on really where you're going to be with your sense of purpose, what role and what kind of, for lack of a better word, percentage it's going to play in your life. Are you knowing and being able to know what it is that you do, why you do what you do, and is there any meaning behind what you're doing? That's going to start that process of thinking about your purpose and sense of purpose and your goals in life. So, you know, I get up for work. Do I know why I get up for work? Do I want to get up for work? Does it have any meaning for me? If not, you're not going to really have a real true sense of purpose. So looking at yourself, asking these questions and getting the answers is really a lot of the work that needs to be done just to be able to ensure that at some point when we do stop, we're going to feel fulfilled. The third tip that I think is very important for us to take a look at today is building your purpose. How do you go about building your purpose? So yeah, I'll sit and think about it, but like, now what do I do? Well, I think we learned from Dr. Friedman, there are four really key areas that we should look at when we're going to start to kind of build a purpose. And the first one is the general sense of love. And where does that fit into our life and connecting with others? Some people build their purpose around love, and that's the starting place. The second place he said is important to look at starting to build your purpose is maybe your work. Is it a happy, fulfilling purpose and place and job? And that might be the starting point. Some people build it around their health and wanting to have and their life in good health and always be in great health. And so that's the center of their purpose. And some people look at passion of a hobby or of a activity that they do, maybe surfing, as he suggested, or running or something that becomes a passion for you. And that could be the center of the start of looking at your purpose. But whatever it is, we need to start to look at what our purpose will be. And if we look at it and don't end up with one, that's okay, because we've looked at it. And that's the point. The fourth thing that I think we need to take away from today is that general life purpose is not very different than the general life philosophy and how you live your life and the things and parameters and elements that go into making you a happy, driven person. So don't be confused that a purpose has to be this focused, driven activity. It just has to be a general overall sense of direction and fulfillment. And I think those are key points that we should really take a look at as you listen to this really interesting podcast on purpose and health-driven purpose. Thank you for listening to all of you today, calling in, voicemails, texting, emails, all very helpful. They stir up a lot of good information. You can always find my podcast on my website and on iTunes. My website is www.drsophie.com. Phone app is available in the iTunes store, so go check it out. Voicemail is always there for you at 1-855-767-4966. My book, Side by Side, the Revolutionary Mother-Daughter Program for Conflict-Free Communication, is always available to you at bookstores all over. Remind you to always take a look at me on Twitter and Facebook, find out where I'm at, updates on what's going on, and any new podcasts that are posted. Visit iTunes to download the full version of Andy Grammer's Keep Your Head Up. But the most important thing for me is don't forget to sweep. Thank you.